Okay, let's unpack this. If you're tuning in, you're already thinking about efficiency. You know that time is, well, it's the most valuable thing in any business, and you're probably looking for a clear way to cut out operational waste.
The blueprint.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into the methodology, the actual strategic playbook that modern solution providers use to build custom web apps, apps focused completely on maximizing efficiency.
And this is so important. We are deliberately ignoring the code.
Right.
Our mission here is to understand the five, let's say, non-technical steps that let companies move really fast, from diagnosing a problem to, deploying a custom solution that automates things.
So this deep dive is kind of a shortcut to understanding the strategy of business automation.
Exactly.
The sources we looked at, they outline a really clear, focused path. It's a methodology that's designed to skip that endless planning and development cycle we all associate with
And
software.
yeah, that quagmire.
Instead, it just targets those leaks, those specific moments in the day where time and money are just bleeding out.
And so the goal, it isn't just to build an app, it's to deliver a system that makes those expensive, repetitive tasks just, well, disappear.
When we talk about the value for you, the listener, we are talking about strategic knowledge here.
I mean, this systematic approach, it really tackles that universal headache of tasks that are, repetitive, manual, or always falling through the cracks.
Right.
Understanding this framework means you can start to audit your own systems, your own processes, and pinpoint exactly where a custom automation would give you the biggest, fastest return.
So we jump right into step one, which is understanding the business. This is the foundational diagnostic part.
Yeah, the foundation.
And I love how the sources frame this. They don't start with technology. They start with a really, I think, painful but powerful question. It's aimed right at the bottom line. Where are you losing time right now?
And that move is, I mean, it's strategically brilliant. It just is, because it forces the client to calculate the internal cost of doing nothing.
Okay, I see.
It immediately shifts the whole conversation from, what features do I want, to how much money am I actually bleeding every single week?
So you're optimizing ROI planning from the very beginning.
Right from the start. And the investigation is hyper-focused on finding those really specific operational pain points.
Okay, so let's drill down on the three categories of pain points the sources talk about.
Sure.
We have the repetitive tasks, the manual ones, and then the ones that consistently fall through the cracks. They sound pretty distinct.
Oh, they absolutely are. And they all need different kinds of solutions. So think of the repetitive tasks as the necessary but kind of low value
Like
stuff.
data entry.
Exactly. Daily data entry, or copying the same information to three different systems. Automating those just frees up your people for higher level work.
Right. And what about the manual tasks?
Those are the real resource hogs. So maybe a complex quoting system, or generating custom weekly client reports that take someone 3 hours of just clicking and copying. They're so prone to human error, and they just eat up time that could be spent on, I don't know, growth or sales. Solving those is just pure efficiency gain.
But the one that really gets me, the one that's the real danger zone, is the stuff that falls through the cracks. What does that actually look like?
That's where you lose reputation and you lose future money. A classic example is follow-up. The whole system just relies on a person remembering to send a confirmation email, 3 days later, or
Bro,
remembering to check a spreadsheet for a late payment.
things with no accountability.
No built-in system of accountability at all. And they often relate to customer service or compliance. By finding these gaps in step one, the solution ensures reliability. It's not just about speed.
So step one is basically like a surgical assessment of where the business is failing its own efficiency standards.
Yeah, and with an estimated hourly cost attached to the problem. Exactly. Without that assessment, you risk, automating a process that shouldn't even exist, or building a feature nobody actually needs. It guarantees the tech you build later is focused on a real quantified loss.
Okay, so once that diagnosis is locked in, we move right into conceptualization. Step two. Designing the workflow. This is where you go from the current pain to the future ideal. It's all about mapping out that ideal version, the system that would genuinely make life easy.
And this is where strategy meets, well, deep collaboration. The sources are really clear that the business owner and their team are active participants here.
They have to be.
They have to be. They're the experts on their own operational reality.
Yeah.
They actively help shape it, so we're building exactly what they need. The key insight is that you're building the workflow first, not the app features.
But getting to that ideal version sounds like it could be tricky. How do you stop this from turning into, you know, massive scope creep?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ask someone for their perfect system, they're going to list every feature they can think of?
That's a great question. And that's where the power of step one anchors the whole process.
Ah, okay.
The ideal workflow has to directly address the specific pain points you already identified. So if the pain point was late customer invoicing, the ideal workflow focuses on the automatic trigger, the prep, and the delivery of that invoice.
It doesn't suddenly branch out.
It doesn't suddenly branch into managing the company's entire inventory system, no. The focus stays narrow, and it's tied to real, verifiable time saving.
So the initial diagnosis works like a governor on the design process. It keeps everything practical and relevant to the core problem.
Precisely. And what's more, involving the business owner so closely, it drastically cuts down on project risk.
How so?
Well, if the client has co-created the blueprint, that ideal version, they have this deep intellectual buy-in. I mean, the success of any new system depends on user acceptance.
Of course.
And this collaborative step, it pretty much guarantees that the system will align with the real, messy, lived experience of the business. They already feel like they own the solution before a single line of code is written.
So here's where we move from all the planning into pure execution. Once that perfect blueprint, the ideal workflow, is approved, we hit step three. Building the app.
The deployment phase, yeah.
And the sources list some really specific targeted components here.
Yeah, in this step, it really shows the specialized, non-monolithic nature of these modern solutions. They are not trying to build these giant, sprawling ERP systems that take years.
Right.
They're building targeted, efficient little machines.
The examples mentioned. Automations, dashboards, auto emails, quoting, booking systems. They all share one thing.
What's that?
They are all components built specifically to automate or manage those time sinks you found back in step one.
You can immediately see the ROI in that list. I mean, automated quoting and booking systems, they're not just time savers, they're revenue accelerators.
Absolutely. But the thing that really stands out in the material is the claim about speed.
Hmm.
The sources claim that because of this specialized focus, most builds don't take months. They move fast. How is that even feasible?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, that speed comes from extreme scope control and from leveraging existing proven tech components.
So they're not reinventing the wheel every time.
Exactly. They aren't writing every single thing from scratch. They are specialists connecting and configuring components that have been tested over and over. The really hard, time-consuming part, defining what to build, that was already solved collaboratively back in steps one and two.
So when they say fast, what they really mean is delivering, say, 80% of the value in 20% of the time it would take for a traditional project.
That is an excellent way to put it, yeah. That speed reflects a really lean, targeted process, which is absolutely crucial for small and mid-sized businesses.
They can't wait a year.
They can't. They need immediate relief. They want to get the solution deployed quickly rather than spend months perfecting some endless feature set that, you know, might never get used. Speed equals lower cost and faster ROI.
So the insight here is that true efficiency isn't about building software that can do everything.
No.
It's about building the exact tool you need to fix the single most expensive problem you found at the very beginning.
And doing it with minimal disruption. They're integrating a focused solution into what's already there, not, you know, tearing the whole building down.
And the process isn't over when the coding stops. This is often where projects fail, right? The handoff.
Yeah.
So we move into step four. Testing and improving. This is the real-world validation, and it's, again, deeply collaborative. They run the app with the team, they tweet anything that needs adjusting, and critically, they make sure everyone knows how to use it.
Integration and adoption are just. They're everything.
Yeah.
A perfectly coded app is useless if the team can't or won't work it into their daily rhythm. Step four isn't just about debugging software. It's about debugging the human interaction with the software. It's this iterative period for ironing out those little frictions that only show up when a system is under actual real-world stress.
But what if the team, after they test it, they actually reject it? How does this process deal with that kind of behavioral friction, especially if the new system is a big change for them?
That is precisely why the collaborative design in step two is so vital. Because the team was consulted and helped define the ideal workflow, the final product isn't some surprise being forced on them. But that said, step four still needs intensive training and, change management. They focus on quick wins, showing the users right away how the new system saves them 3 hours on a Monday morning. That immediate personal benefit is what drives adoption, not just the manager saying, "You have to use this."
And once it works smoothly, once that friction is gone and the team is on board, that leads us right to step five, launch.
Yep, that's when the new process officially replaces the old one.
The moment of truth.
And the sources claim the immediate benefit here is the payoff for all that intense diagnostic work up front. The business starts saving time and money right away with no complicated transition.
Because the team was already involved in the testing.
Exactly. The switch is painless, which lets them get that efficiency savings immediately.
So that systematic approach, it creates a system so much better that going back to the old way is just, it's unthinkable.
It creates that feeling of irreversibility. That's the real measure of success. Owners often say they wish they'd done it earlier because once the business sees the new workflow in action, there's no going back. That custom, seamless automation, it just becomes the new standard. The launch isn't some stressful event. It's just flipping a switch on a system that's been meticulously designed and tested.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've walked through a really focused, five-step strategic approach to building custom web apps that completely sidesteps those complex, slow development cycles.
Right.
It's a methodology that really prioritizes diagnosis, collaboration, and rapid integration above all else.
And the critical insight here, I think, is that strategic efficiency isn't achieved by buying technology. It's achieved by systematically answering that first question from step one. Where are you losing time?
Right.
The other four steps are just the mechanism for building the custom tool you need to eliminate that specific quantifiable time loss.
Right.
And to do it quickly, it's a solution-first, technology-second approach that puts the focus entirely on real business outcomes.
It's actually really empowering to realize that the most important strategic decisions in automation, they're not about what coding language to use.
Not at all.
They're about the depth of your diagnosis and the specificity of your workflow mapping.
And that strategic knowledge is portable. I mean, you can apply that framework of diagnosing repetitive, manual, and falling through the cracks tasks to any operational challenge, whether you end up building an app or just optimizing the tools you already have.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's leave you with a final provocative thought. Our source material mentions a future discussion on why custom beats plugins every time. And we've seen how absolutely crucial that custom workflow design in step two and the iterative testing in step four are to getting that irreversible level of efficiency.
So challenge yourself to consider what specific element in this five-step process is the thing that fundamentally separates a truly efficient custom solution from just, stacking a bunch of off-the-shelf plugins.
That's a great question.
What level of specificity do you need to handle those unique tasks that were falling through the cracks? The tasks that generic software, by its very nature, just can't manage? I think the answer is realizing plugins force you to adapt to them.
Right.
While this process lets the technology adapt entirely to you, think about that difference when you look at your own operational bottlenecks.